Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. My guest, Kayla Ambrose, is not available right at the moment, so we are going to have her call in, I'm sure, in a little bit. But regardless, we're going to be moving ahead with the Donna Sebo Show. I've got so much good stuff to share with you that we will expect her phone call, and if she's not for some reason able to make it, then we'll just go on anyway. So this is Donna Sebo. We have got a lot of good information to share with you today. By the way, first thing right off the bat, I want to thank those of you that are sending me such wonderful stories and some different items, different points of information. It's always such a joy to hear from you, and I'm so glad to get it because it really does make a difference. We're going to be talking a little bit about money today and also a little bit about this and a little bit about that. But first, I thought I would share with you something that was quite significant to me today. In fact, it was just in the last hour that this information came to my attention. I had a break, and so as I was sitting in front of the television, I happened to tune in to the National Association for Women. And you know how you just click away on your channel selector and go bleep, 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 bleep. Well, then I happened to tune into the fact that there was this woman that was being introduced, and I just was captivated by what was presented, and I thought I would share it with you today. The very first African-American woman to reach the North Pole. Very first African-American woman to reach the North Pole. Her name is Barbara Hillary, and she was being honored by the National Association of Women. In fact, she was given an award for a woman of courage. And it was fascinating to listen to her. This woman is 75 years old. So any of you that are concerned about getting older, my goodness, 75 years old, and she's going to the North Pole on skis? Excuse me. Most of the time, we think of somebody 75 years of age, and they're supposed to be ready for whatever. But they're not even supposed to be close to being able to of walking, much less being on skis. Wrong. This is a woman you would never even know she was 75 years of age just because of the way she carried herself. She's dressed attractively. She has a real good attitude. Well, this woman was a nurse at one time in her professional career, and she said it was so interesting when she started telling people about this goal she had of being the first African-American woman to go to the North Pole. She said, one of the lessons you learn is to avoid negative people. What happened is people told her, my God, woman, you're too old to go to something like this. Wouldn't that have been a first thought in so many of our minds for somebody that was 75 years old? We'd look at them and say, you know, you're really a little old to be doing something like this. Have you ever skied before? Have you ever encountered a polar bear? Do you know what it's like to be in 75 below zero weather? What about the wind chill factor? I mean, can't you just hear all of the different things that people would say? And she got this from so many people. And she had to say to herself, wait a minute. This is my goal. This isn't your goal. It's my goal. So she ignored him. I just love it. I just love it. I thought it was just, she's just absolutely a doll. But she said there are three things you need to be aware of. You have to be durable, versatile, and you have to recognize your inside giant. And I thought that was such a profound statement. Have you ever considered that you had inside yourself something called the inside giant? What a wonderful, wonderful description. And she said, you've got to give that inside giant life. you have to allow it to breathe. Or your other option is to suppress it. She said every person, male, female, doesn't make any difference, has this giant within them. Every single person. And how many of us accept being midgets? I've laid my hand on that one. I've done that. I've been afraid to look at things at times in my life and say, oh, that couldn't be me. Why do I want to reach for that dream or that goal? That's something that other people can do, but I can't possibly do it. That's not a good attitude. Well, we have got Kayla on the line with us, and I'm so glad, but I'll continue the rest of the story about Barbara Hillary. You're going to want to hear the rest of this. This gal is dynamic. And we also have another dynamic lady with us today, Kayla Ambrose. Her book is called 9 Life Altering Lessons. But we have a little bit of a tidbit to add to that. She's going to tell us about Secrets of the Mystery School Unveiled. Kayla, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a delight. Now, I have to ask you a question. Is your first name pronounced Kayla or Kala?
Well, I answer to any of them, but I do go by Kayla. And I've been called much worse.
I wanted to get clarity on that, because my first feeling was to go with Kayla. But I thought, well, maybe it's a hard A, so I don't know. And I had to ask you right up front.
Well, my mother had a dream when she was pregnant with me, and they told her that was my name. And she wanted to put a Y in it, and they were very insistent, and whoever they were in her dream, it would recur over a period of time with her pregnancy with me. And they said, no, it was to have a Y. And I'm from Louisiana, and at the time I was born, no one had ever heard of a name like this. And so my mother actually caught a lot of flack about it. Later, she learned it was Sanskrit, and it means time. And my middle name is Renee, so my name actually means time reborn. So I'm very thankful that someone spoke to her about that.
Well, that is marvelous. Now, you have such an interesting topic here. Whenever you combine the two words mystery school, you want to have sort of background music behind that, give it a little bit of a woo-woo effect, because it brings about such, I want to say, an ethereal type of a feel to it. And people's hair will either turn white or it'll curl when you say that, because they think it's going to be something so absolutely far-fetched out in fluff land somehow. And really it isn't. When you get down to the bare bones of a lot of organizations that were called mystery organizations or mystery schools, really the only reason they were that way is because the ignorance of attitude at the time was so prevalent. If they didn't take care to keep things sort of secret, then it would have been destroyed.
Absolutely.
Now tell us how you got involved with this exploration in the mystery schools.
Well, I would have to say that I probably came back with this part of being part of my destiny. When I was very young, I learned to read at a very young age. And from that, I began teaching. And they would find me in the libraries. I would be reading books on ghosts and legends and myths and ancient creatures and history of the world. And I would be talking about these books and saying, this is not correct. And I was 5 or 6 years old at the time, and saying, this is not how it went back then. This is what happened, and this should be changed here. And so you can imagine what a joy I was as a child.
Oh, they must have just loved you. I can imagine he's correcting the teacher in the middle of the class.
Exactly.
Excuse me, page 9,
and
paragraph 4. That's the
grew up in Catholic school, the same thing, and I would go talk to the Monsignor there and to the priest and say, I don't think this is correct. Let's talk about this. Why isn't Mary talked about this way? And I was very fortunate in the school I went to. They thought I was very entertaining and cute, and they would actually pull me aside and say, come listen to this little redhead girl tell us these stories, and isn't she something? And so it seemed to be a part of me very early on that I understood these things. Then as my path grew, and I was born psychic as well, and so I had an ability that runs in my family. And in Louisiana, where I live, everyone has seen a ghost or knows someone with psychic ability or things like that. So it's very more open to talk about, and within my family as well. So I was allowed to nurture that. And I had a big thirst for different organizations and churches and spirituality. So I would ask my parents on weekends, I'd want to go to different churches or temples or whatever there was. I wanted to learn about them all. And as we moved and lived around the country, I began to study more and more with so many different paths of Huna and teachings in Alaska when I lived there, and teachings in California, and just so many different teachers. And then one day I met my first teacher, who was teaching what's called the esoteric teachings or the mystery schools. And when I went into those classes, everything flooded back to me. It was like I had never left. I remembered being there before. I went to the teacher and said, I know this. Let me tell you about this. Let's talk about this. And moved up really just rapidly compared to what students do, and to the point where he was having me teach after a very short period of time. And then the experiences from the other side came after that, and it's been nonstop ever since. And if you would ask me growing up, you know, which is, I guess, the hard part of being psychic, sometimes you can see other people's lives but not your own. I did not think that was going to be my path, to be writing and teaching about these, but now I can't imagine it being anything else but that. So it's how life takes you, I guess.
That's true. Albert Einstein, you have one of his quotes, and I really enjoy this one. The important thing is not to stop questioning. Curiosity has its own reason for existing. One cannot help but be in awe when he contemplates the mysteries of eternity, of life, of the marvelous structure of reality. It is enough if one tries merely to comprehend a little of this mystery every day. Never lose a holy curiosity. I like that, because I think that is what makes life interesting, what makes life expansive, and what makes life expandable in so many ways where otherwise we may be taught that they cannot be expandable.
I agree completely. One of the things I tell my students is the only constant in life is change. And once you accept that, then you can embrace change instead of fearing it like so many people do. We're here to evolve and to change and grow, and that's what it's all about.
You also make a comment in your book, Kayla, that a teacher is to be viewed like a gardener planting seeds of knowledge in the mind of the burgeoning student. I really like that description because it is such a good one. A good teacher wants the students to go past where they are. They want them to expand to their greatest potential. And many times, dependent on where that person's life direction that they are going to choose to experience, those seeds that you plant may not even have a chance to take root and begin to grow for many years.
Very true. And many times I say in the book and in the classes as well that I'm not even a teacher. I'm just here to help you remember what you already know and who you already are, because I do believe people have that wisdom within them. And if I can plant a seed to help it, that thought sprout forward for you to remember, or help touch on something that will help that knowledge come back. I believe we all are divine beings, and that wisdom is within us. It's just we have to remember it. And then, of course, one of the other things with the esoteric teachings, which if you have a teacher teaching this, which you should hear in some form from them, and I think I say that on the first page of my book, is don't believe a word I say.
Mm-hmm.
And not asking anyone to look at me as some type of teacher or guru. I'm presenting what's called some universal truths that have been taught for thousands of years. And if they appeal to you, take them, think about them, ponder on them, see if it's a path for you. And if they don't, that's okay, too. It's just part of the journey passing by. But it's not about one way or one right thing or any of that. But there are universal truths with so many different organizations and groups, and people have tried to teach and share throughout the world, throughout all the different countries. Some of them esoterically in smaller groups, and some exoterically in myths and parables and stories that we all know.
Oh, yes. I think through story, it is one of the ways that a lot of things are carried through. Without the story, it would not be remembered, and that's why there are so many stories that are so captivating that often become fairy tales or things like this, because there is a very significant message in them, and that message is meant to permeate the psyche of people. But it's done in a way that allows them to choose whether or not they want to accept it. So I think that's a compliment to what you just said. Let's start with the first lesson. You've got 9. You say we live in a magical universe, which means that the possibilities of what we can create are infinite. And I know so many of my listeners are so aware of The Secret and so many other publications that have come out. But it never hurts to remind anyone that this is an infinite, ever-expanding universe that we live in.
Yes, it is. It is a difficult lesson to teach, and you're right. Some groups have tried to put this out in a simple form for people to understand, and I have students that will say to me, well, if that's true, then how come I've been thinking about this and it didn't happen? And I say back to them, well, if it is true, imagine if every thought you did have came true.
Mm-hmm.
To think about your week or even your day or even the last hour, if every thought that you had would happen instantly, is that really what you want? Are you really prepared for that? So what's happened is some protective guidelines have been put in place to keep us from turning each other into frogs every time we have a
that's
some
a
kind of
very
thought.
Good statement. I like that one, because none of us are without the moments when we think, yeah, I'd like to punch that guy right in the nose. That's not really what you want to do, but it's just that moment of thought. My goodness, there'd be such chaos if everything instantaneously occurred. We wouldn't get anything done because our minds are going at such a pace and such a speed, and we're processing and analyzing. We have old tapes that are running through our minds. We've got all this stuff that's there.
Exactly. And so, if that could happen with just a little bit of energy, it would be so chaotic. So it has been put in place. But what I do mean by we live in a magical universe is that the universe does listen to every thought we have, every word we say, and every action we take, and it does respond accordingly. It takes time, though, and it's how much energy you put into that. So if you have a fleeting thought and then you move on to the next thought, there's not a lot of energy there. But if you have a true belief about yourself, be it negative or positive, and you hold on to that belief and you repeat it a lot in your mind, or you just believe it to be true, or you even say it out loud because you believe it so much, the universe will actively and consciously begin to change that and to create that belief for you and to help manifest it. And that's kind of understanding that esoteric law there, that ancient truth. And that's why I say it's so important that we master our thoughts and emotions before we begin to just pick up a DVD or a book or something that tells us to begin actively and consciously creating. Because if you turn that on and you begin to do that and you haven't cleared out some of your thoughts and emotions, you may end up creating things that you don't want or causing chaos that you may not be ready for in your life.
You have the concept of spinning plates that you used in the book. And I thought that was very, very good, because you say one of the things you like your students to develop is how to connect with the energy, creating the outcome they would like for it to achieve. And then, just like someone that's doing the spinning plates, balancing them on thin rods, and they're just going a mile a minute, all it takes is a little bit of a reconnect periodically, and then you have to allow the energy to work its own magic.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very good point.
Thank you. It's how I get things done and how I'm able to multitask so well and move into the different things I do, from writing and teaching and other work that I do and just many different things. If you give some energy to it and then you allow it to continue to create and spin, you can go on to the next thing and then check back into them. So I'll create something and get it put into motion, and then go on to the next one and get that creating, and then you check back and you just put a little bit of energy, just like you see the guy at the circus that can spin the plates, and he'll start one and then go to another. And if you take that analogy and go with it, you realize there are so many things that you can get done that way, as long as you are willing to put the energy into it. But again, what helps is first to kind of clear out yourself first, because if you get emotional or you're having things that are diverting your energy and stressing you out and pulling you away, it's hard to keep all those things spinning when you're being pulled down into the lower realms and of energy, and that way having to deal with that. So it's important to do that overall first, otherwise the plates won't spin for very long.
Lesson number two, we are the creation of our thoughts. And you say there's a sacred formula: the power of thought plus the art of creative visualization equals the universal power of reality. And that's sort of the MC square of the metaphysical group. And I think that this is very true, but I know I speak from my own experience and from having conversations with so many people. Sometimes we will have something we are focusing on, and it's not until we relax and just let it go and just say, just like with the spinning plates, you know, just give it a little bit of attention. But even there comes a point when you have to just let it go and just know everything's going to create its own momentum and get about doing something else, that it actually will have a chance to occur. Because so often we try to control.
It's very true. And this is what the alchemists tried to teach back in that time as well, is that there is a universal power of reality, and it is both of those combined. And I think some of the greatest artists and musicians and people throughout time have understood this and created it in this way, as well as people who have done great works of good of all types. And when that's connected and the person goes on their journey with the conviction and the power of their thought and being open to letting the divine kind of guide them, or the muses, or whatever they would like to describe it at, that is the art of the creative visualization and what will go there. And put those two together, and that's what you do connect with, is that universal power, which begins to create the reality that manifests in front of you. And it's an amazing, awesome experience to be able to do that. And it's one that we see Joseph Campbell talked about so much, I think, in his The Power of Myth, and how you have the hero, and they have that thought, and then what they will do, and then they begin to visualize and go on the journey and see what they do and how they create the whole journey that appears before them. This is one of the things that we're here on the earth plane to do.
Lesson 3, we are all one, a sea of energy floating in vibratory fields. Lesson 4 is we are a reflection, a microcosm of the macrocosm. And that one was, I thought, significant. All of your lessons are significant, but the truth is we are part of something that is so great that we cannot, by any stretch of our imaginations, wrap our minds around it. It just isn't possible.
So true.
So you make a statement. Try to make sense of why you've chosen to live this life the way you have and where you are now. Now, that very statement, I think, gives an individual personal power.
Absolutely. It does. And that's the kind of questions you begin to ask in the esoteric teachings. We start with the basics of who are you? Are you living for yourself or to please others? Or when is the last time you've even asked yourself those questions? And what was your answer? And does that answer change? And did another person help provide you with those answers? Or do you really know who you are? And once you begin that journey, kind of opening Pandora's box there and thinking about who you are, then you can go deeper into understanding that you are all one, we are all one, we're all connected. This is all energy that we live in, and we're all sharing in this together and growing together. And then even when we begin to understand that, then we begin to understand that there's something even greater beyond. And it's not so much about knowing the answer as it is doing the best we can, our highest and best every day on our journey and seeking to know more. We can't always know every answer. I used to have a beautiful mural that was painted for me that had to do with the mystery schools, and it was a path that winded, and you couldn't see behind some boulders. And as the mural went up on the wall, you saw the temple with the light at the front of the temple and getting there. And just when you thought that journey was complete, you had gotten to this beautiful temple, and you were going to understand so much, you looked over, and past the temple was a beautiful white mountain covered in snow. And then you realize your journey had just begun and you were going forward. And no one even knows what's behind that mountain. And it's not really meant at this time, I don't think, for us to understand everything about the universe and all that is. And perhaps we will get there in time. But in the meantime, there's so much we can begin to know about ourselves. And I do think the closer that one gets to know themselves, the one closer gets to know God or the divine or whatever you would like to call it. And that was written on many of the mystery schools in ancient Greece. It would say, man, know thyself, and thy will know God, and which was trying to explain that as you go deeper within, that connection takes you deeper into the understanding.
Lesson 5 is we are greater than we remember ourselves to be. Lesson 6, let me see, I think I missed that one there. You have, let me get this, 6, we know that only the good is real. Lesson 7, we recognize that we are children of the universe. And lesson 8, we are limitless and ageless. All that exists is now. Lesson 9, is we create the path which leads to our destiny. And I wanted to focus on this one a little bit, because I think so many times, having been in the work of mind for so many years myself, destiny is an ongoing journey. It's not something that this is it, folks. You're going to be a macaw parrot for 45 years. This isn't it. That's not what we're talking about. It is a process. And you have a poem in here, Kayla, that you had put together yourself. What is our destiny? To live, to laugh, to love, to be, to express ourselves in various forms, to come together, to create, to share, to fulfill that which we are to be. We create the path.
Absolutely. I agree. And it's freeing for a lot of people when they first understand that. And for some people, it's a little daunting to say, oh my goodness, I can be anything. Then the next question is, what in the world do I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, the rewards are many. And it's very exciting to understand that you can do that. And when a person does that, having gone through the book and read the book and gone through these 9 lessons, if they take them on and look through them, you become a student of the teachings, which doesn't just have to be in a temple anymore or in one school. You can do these on your own. You can read through them and go on your own inner journey to understand this. And as you do, you begin to have experiences of your own that with each step and embracing each lesson and learning from it. And you become what's known as no longer unaware. You become awakened and to understand and that what is out there, and including, like we said, lesson 5, we are greater than we remember ourselves to be. And this, I think, is one of the biggest problems with humanity, is we aren't told enough and we aren't reminded enough how amazing each one of us are. And there's only one of you and one of me. And yes, we're all one and we are all connected, but we're still made as individuals for very important reasons. And each person does have a destiny and a reason for being here. And there's been so many lifetimes that we could talk about, but I do think this is a very unique lifetime. We're transmuting into a different place in this world. We're moving into a different age. I think each and every soul that is here right now in this lifetime was brought here for a specific purpose and has something very important to do. And if each person could connect with that and remember what that is, and it doesn't mean on the grandest scale that you have to go out and climb and move mountains, but what you do every day, even how you connect with people, when you reach out in love, when you reach out in kindness or compassion, or when you do take a great action and do something to make a difference, it matters, and it matters more than people realize. And if there's one thing people could take away today, that would be my wish, is they would understand that they are so much greater than they remember themselves to be.
Now, Kayla, you do a lot of teaching. What is your website where people can go and explore more information about what you offer as a teacher?
The easiest website might be just my name, which is Kayla, K-A-L-A, Ambrose, A-M-B-R-O-S-E.com, KaylaAmbrose.com, or directly to the school, which is a little longer. It's the Temple of Stella Maris.org, and Stella is S-T-E-L-L-A, Maris is M-A-R-I-S.org. TempleOfStellaMaris.org, and the websites are mentioned in the back of the book as well, if you wanted to look on the last page.
Great. 9 life-altering lessons, secrets of the mystery schools unveiled. Kayla, it's been a delight having you as a guest today, and thank you for sharing your thoughts. Your book is very insightful, and I think that it can be a handy tool for some people to use to empower them in their lives. Thank you, Kayla.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. By the way, this is, again, 9 life-altering lessons, secrets of the mystery schools unveiled. Go to her website, KaylaAmbrose.com. That's KaylaAmbrose.com. It's Ambrose, not Bros, excuse me. So it's KaylaAmbrose.com. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in Physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open if you would like to call in. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. And if you're a first-time listener, this is painless. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call. When we answer the phone line, I will just want your first name or your initial. I also like to know where you're calling from. And then after that, let me give you my insights, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you desire. Animal, vegetable, mineral, it doesn't make any difference. I love to be able to use the talents and share them with you. By the way, tomorrow we are going to be having a wonderful guest, Lynn Hull, actually two of them. Lynn Hull and Julie Molnar are going to be with us. Your Life, Your Way. It's called The Essential Guide for Women, but hey guys, you can listen too. Good insight, good wisdom belongs to everybody. It's not exclusive to gender. So I think you'll enjoy that. And then we're going to be on Wednesday talking about the ghosts of Hollywood. Yes, Marla Brooks, a dynamic gal, and she's got fun stories. It's going to be just really great. Then we're going to be talking about a pilot. Fasten your seatbelts, a pilot's memoir. Bob Klein is going to be my guest, and I can tell you, after reading his material, you have a whole different perspective of what it takes to be a pilot. Really fascinating stuff. And then Friday, we are going to have an open mic hour on Friday. Anyway, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. And we are going to continue with the story I was telling you about, the woman that I watched an interview on this afternoon, Barbara Hillary, who is the first African-American. And I was chatting with you about what she had been expressing about this goal of hers. Now, she's 75 years young. And she said one of the things, we need to recognize the giant within. We also need to not stand in our own way. Stop finding excuses about why something isn't right. Stop blaming the dog, the cat, the stars, the moon, you know, your uncle, your mother, whoever happens to be around. Stop the blame game and really become aware of the wouldas, shouldas, and couldas, and get rid of them. It doesn't make any difference. if you have an objective, whatever that objective may be, it doesn't make any difference. She said, honor it, own it, make it your own. There are always going to be people around that will tell you why it won't work, because you've got four noses or your eyes are blue or something. I mean, they'll come up with something, always. She said, if you give in to, well, it would have been better if I did this, or if I should have done that, or I could have been, could have, she said, all you're going to get out of life is a big zero, because you're never going to be able to reach it. I think of a couple that I am aware of. I've known of them for years. These two people have been in a marriage of self-destruction that, as far as I'm concerned, is just hideous. And it's very sad to see, because they're both beautiful human beings. But they keep blaming each other, and they have done this for 40-some-odd years. They live in basically a hovel. The wife says, I'm not going to do anything in this house because he's such a slob. And he said, I don't want to do anything because I'm going to show you, you can't treat me this way. I mean, it's like two children having tantrums. When they honestly look at their lives, they're miserable. They've got this super huge big zero that Barbara was talking about. Excellent example. And they'll put the blame on each other all the time. They use each other as an excuse to totally be in that big zero zone. You don't want to go there. So what Barbara Hillary said, she said, being flexible and persevering, working with whatever tools you have, and being constantly aware that you always have to adjust. And I loved her example. She said, when you're out in the middle of no man's land, which the North Pole is, I mean, there's nothing exciting. There's no Nordstrom's or anything conveniently available to block your view or to break the monotony. You have nothing but white. All you've got in front of you is an objective. The wind can be blowing. It's freezing. This is not a sweet environment by any stretch of the imagination. So here she is. She said she gets her tent. She manages to do the calisthenics required with the clothes that she's got on to stay warm, to get into her sleeping bag. And then she finds that she's got to go to the bathroom. She said it's really tough in that environment when you have to go through all those mechanics. And then Mother Nature calls on you. And you go, oh, please, not now. This is adjustment. She said every day that she was on this adventure, fulfilling this dream of hers, she said, I constantly had to adjust. She said, and for me, it was always the weather. Every day, the weather would change, and it would often change within minutes, within that day. You could have changes all day long. So she said, you have to be mindful of where you are, paying attention to what has to be taken care of, and don't gripe. This is where you are. If you want to complain, that's all right, mumble and grumble. But understand that you have to deal with what's in front of you. There was no government for her to deal with out there. She wasn't going to have any kind of a welfare rescue. She said, this is what I chose to do. I am contending with the elements of the environment I have chosen to place myself within. You know, a number of people said, Barbara, you cannot do this. You have had lung cancer. You are 75 years old. Your lungs are going to collapse in that cold. She says, okay, that's fine. We'll see. They warned her about the polar bears. She said, we'll see. She said, I always felt that if the polar bears got me, they were going to get some real good soul food. I loved her sense of humor. So she said, understand, if you're tired, if you're frustrated with your life, flexibility and perseverance, pinch of the heart and a sense of humor, she said, can go a long way. Put it all in a big pot and stir it around. And realize that's you. I really felt that this was a very special opportunity for me to share a message with about a woman that I didn't know anything about. And she's being honored by the National Association for Women, Barbara Hillary, the very first African-American woman to reach the North Pole. Now, she's 76. Guess what her next adventure is? She's going to go to the South Pole. And it's colder there than it is at the North Pole. But hey, she had the North Pole down pat. You betcha. I'll be interested in seeing her when she goes to the South Pole. And by golly, maybe I'll even be able to get her as a guest on the show. I just think she is a marvelous example of saying, if you have a dream, if you want something, whatever it is, it doesn't make any difference. You don't have to dream her dream. You dream your own dream. And when you can do that, and you honor that dream, and you nourish that dream, you have a chance of achieving it. And you know something else? Sometimes that dream is going to become so big, it's going to become so expansive, far beyond what you ever could have imagined. And I think one of the most rewarding things that can ever happen is that when you live your dream, when you're true to yourself, one day someone is going to say to you, you are an inspiration to me because you have made a difference in my life by being the person you are. When you have integrity, when you honor the highest and best in yourself, there is no way you lose in this game of life. No way. You're not out there to hurt anybody else. You're doing the game of life. Stop and think about the people that you admire, the people that to you are an inspiration. And you'll say, gee, I wish I could be like them. Just the fact that you recognize qualities in that other individual means that you have those very same qualities in yourself. You could not possibly honor them or recognize them if they were not already within you. That should make your day. What a great way to start a week. I was so glad to find that out about Barbara. It was absolutely great. And then on top of that, one of you had sent me this delightful commentary, or it's a poem, and I just wanted to share it with you because I felt that it was just a very nice compliment to talking about Barbara Hillary. And there is a quote. This is by an unknown author. Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. And this is how it reads. When I look at a patch of dandelions, I see a bunch of weeds that are going to take over my yard. My kids see flowers for mom and blowing white fluff you can wish on. When I look at an old drunk and he smiles at me, I see a smelly, dirty person who probably wants money, and I look away. My children see someone smiling at them, and they wave and smile back. When I hear music I love, I know I can't carry a tune and don't have much rhythm, so I sit self-consciously and listen. My kids feel the beat and move to it. They sing out the words. If they don't know them, they make up their own. When I feel wind on my face, I brace myself against it. I feel it messing up my hair and pulling me back when I walk. Now my kids, they close their eyes, they spread their arms and fly with it till they fall to the ground laughing. When I pray, I say, thee and thou, and grant me this and give me that. Now my kids, they say, hey, hi, God, thanks for my toys and my friends. Please keep the bad dreams away tonight. Sorry, I don't want to go to heaven yet. I've missed my mommy and my daddy. When I see a mud puddle, I step around it. I see muddy shoes and dirty carpets. Now my kids, they sit in it. They see dams to build, rivers to cross, and worms to play with. This person, whoever wrote this, said, I wonder if we're giving kids to teach us, or maybe we're supposed to learn from them. No wonder little children are loved so much. Enjoy the little things in life, for one day you may look back and realize they really were the big things. I wish you big mud puddles and sunny yellow dandelions. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break, and thank you to whoever sent me that. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be right back. Give me a buzz, 877-876-5227. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Buzz, if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9766. And we're going to go to our first caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. This is JoJo again. I'm calling from the Central Coast of California.
Hi, JoJo. You say Central Coast of California. Santa Barbara, where is it?
Actually, a little town called Los Osos, just west of San Luis Obispo.
Ooh, nice area.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get down to business with you, JoJo. The first thing that I'm looking at is attention to detail is very important. You're packing together quite a bit of action and follow through that is aimed towards a particular objective. This is good, and you're going to be doing a balancing act with this, because part of what you have to be alert to is giving out whatever it is that you're trying to give out with information, but knowing when to give a piece of it and when to retreat. It's quite interesting to me, because I'm looking at this almost being like a delicate ballet. So whoever you're interacting with, communicating with, you will need to be attentive to how they are responding to you. You need to watch their body language, ask questions to the effect of, are you getting a clear picture of what I'm trying to present? Do you have any questions? Is there anything that's confusing to you? You need to be able to get your feedback so that you'll know how you temper the information that you're giving out, how much you give at any given point, so that you will not get too far ahead of yourself or not give enough information if it's necessary. So to me, it's almost like a delicate ballet. Also, JoJo, what I'm observing is these next 2 weeks, take care of the small stuff in your personal life that has to be done. I don't care if it's washing windows, if it's doing bills, if it's painting a room, whatever it is. The little piddly-diddly stuff that you know you need to get done, get in order, get out of the way, do it.
Okay.
It'll save you a lot of stress later on.
Okay.
What question do you have for me today? You said, oh, man. What was that, a disturbed
attitude? Well, when you give me this information, so much is going on through my head. It's hard to come back and formulate something. Is there anything more what's the most important thing I can do with my art?
Oh, that's interesting that you ask that question. What's the most important thing you can do with your art? Now, when you're asking me that question, is it regarding sales? Is it regarding artistic expression? Is it regarding, well, what is it regarding?
Yeah, that's a good point, because it just came out, so it was regarding everything, but I'll focus it into sales.
All right. With your sales, I would say it is like a tier. You need to be able to be public so that your art can be viewed, and that might be being out, for example, like in, because it's summertime, in a farmer's market, somewhere where you have visibility with people. Then I would look at, do you want to be in a particular arena of exposure for your art? Are you willing to be a part of shows that might be across the country, expositions of some kind? You really need to look at how you want to reach people. What's the best way to do it? What is your artistic style at this time? What's your medium?
Right now, fine art photography.
All right. You have a lot of opportunity with that by being able to interact with a number of events. And you're in the, one of the prime states to do this in, which is California. New York is very big, but there's a number of other places across the country that you could have your own exhibition or enter your work into even some competition. So I think it's actually being more visible yourself. I think people are going to find you extremely interesting to talk to.
Okay.
So again, it's not just one level. It's multiple levels. Am I making sense to you?
You're making perfect sense.
Good. And I think you're going to find that there are going to be some contracts for your work that may come up, but I want you to be sure you have a good attorney. And I want you to do some homework. I want you to read about how to protect yourself and be alert, because I'm seeing someone who is going to, in about 5 years, who's going to want to represent you. Very, very good person. I really like this individual. And you have got a learning curve you're going to go through these next 5 years. But that's okay. You've gained some savvy already, and you just need to refine it.
Okay, so you... It's hard to hear you a little bit, but you said get a good attorney?
Yes.
But I'm not to worry about that.
Excuse me?
I'm not to worry about that.
Right. What you want to do is educate yourself. You want to educate yourself.
Okay. With that, let me ask one little question. Do you have any sense that it's a family friend or someone I might already know?
I have no idea at this moment. I have no idea whatsoever.
Okay. Okay,
and
so that attorney, is that something I need as soon as possible?
Be alert. Need to educate yourself.
Okay.
That begins whenever you're ready to begin.
I think that'd be now.
I think so.
Yeah.
And don't come from a positioning of fear.
Yeah.
Come from a positioning of educating yourself, being alert, being knowledgeable, asking other people that have already walked the path. Who, what do I do? How do I learn? What are the best sources for me? And you'll have the help you need, my friend.
Okay.
Well, thank you, JoJo.
Thank you so much, Donna.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a fabulous day.
Yeah, you too.
This
Bye.
Is Donna Sebo. And, my goodness, we won't have time to take any more calls. But quick like a bunny, I wanted to give you a tidbit of information here. There was an author, Anthony Trollope, who worked for the British Post Office for 33 years. And during that time, he wrote 4 dozen novels by rising at 5:30 a.m. and writing 1,000 words before trudging off to work. Can you believe that? Amazing. Now, his writings are still well known, but within postal circles, his biggest claim to fame is that he invented the street corner mailbox. Practical man. Vivid imagination to boot. Did well for him. This is Donna Sebo. This is a wonderful day to be alive. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Take this day and go with it. Enjoy it. Savor it. Reach for that goal. There's no reason why you cannot fulfill your dream in many magnificent and unexpected ways. Donna Sebo, see you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.